All right. Thank you, Miriam. And Mark, invite you to take your Bible and turn to 2 Kings chapter 11. Fight for right with your family. I would say everybody here tonight except me, you either have children or you have children and grandchildren. And so this message would be something that I think would be very helpful to you in the culture in which we live. Now, I can't pronounce most of the names that are here. I pronounce a name one way, and the next time I pronounce that same name, it'll come out another way. And the only redemption here for me is if it was written in Hebrew, which is translated from the Hebrew, you read it right to left instead of left to right. So I may read some of these right to left rather than left to right. So look at chapter 11 of 2 Kings, and we look at verse 1 through 3 and verse 12. When Athaliah, the mother of Ahaziah, saw that her son was dead, she proceeded to destroy the whole royal family. But Jehosheba, the daughter of King Jehoram, I got him right, and sister Ahaziah, took Joash of Ahaziah and stole him away from among the royal princes who were about to be murdered. She put him and his nurse in a bedroom to hide them from Athaliah. So he was not killed. He remained hidden with his nurse at the temple of the Lord for 6 years, while Athaliah, whatever you want to call it, Miss A, ruled the land. Then go down to verse 12. Jehoiada brought out the king's son, put the crown on him. He presented him with a copy of the covenant and proclaimed him king. They anointed him, and the people clapped their hands and shouted, "Long live the king." You want to mark this down in this story. Jehosheba represents the home. Athaliah represents the devil. And Joash is a picture of the future generation. So the story unfolds as Jehosheba and Athaliah are in battle over a child named Joash. I don't know about you. I think today the family is worth fighting for. I admire Governor DeSantis and what he did down in Florida, having that bill signed that in the public school you cannot be taught sexual orientation. Already Disney has announced that they will oppose that law and try to have it turned over. That ought to give you some ideas about what corporations we ought to be supporting and those that we should not. But when we look here today, we'll see what it takes to fight for your family. First of all, there's an evil plan in progress against the throne. There's a son's death. 2 Kings 11:1, Athaliah, the mother of Ahaziah, that's her son, saw her son was dead. We're told in 2 Kings chapter 8 that Ahaziah became king of Judah after the death of his father, Jehoram. And Ahaziah was prominent as well as a powerful king. So during the reign of Ahaziah, Judah engaged in a joint expedition with Jehoshaphat and also spearheaded a revolt against Moab. Ahaziah was also involved in an attempt to recover Ramoth-Gilead and a joint venture with his father Jehoram in 2 Kings 2. So as a result, Ahaziah was wounded in Samaria and he died in Megiddo. Now that Ahaziah is dead, the throne of Israel has become open. As a result, his mother devises a plot against the vacant throne. And I mean, she pulls out all the stops. Her husband, Jehoram, and her son, Ahaziah, had both at separate times occupied this throne. Now notice the seed of demise in verse 1. When the mother of Ahaziah saw that her son was dead, she arose and destroyed all the royal seed. Because her son has been killed, no longer on the throne, unable to occupy it, she pulls out all the stops to destroy all the royal seed that are entitled to the throne. And she's a very interesting and intriguing woman. When you look up her pedigree, Alethiah is actually the daughter of Ahab and Jezebel. How would you like that in your little genealogical tree? During the days of Ahab, he did his best to lead the nation of Judah away from God. And he received a lot of help from a wicked wife named Jezebel. Alethiah comes on the scene, falls right into the footsteps of her parents. She once influenced her husband, Jehoram, to kill all of his brothers so they would not inherit the throne at his death. Now that her son's dead, she commits one of the most despicable crimes you've ever seen. How many of you are grandparents here? There's a lot of you that are grandparents, and that's wonderful. Here's what she does. She comes up with a plot to have all of her grandchildren killed and all the seed, since they were rivals to the throne. So she desperately wanted to take this throne herself. Now notice the preservation of the throne here. The next scene in the story introduces us to a woman named Jehosheba, and she graciously protects the throne that Athaliah wanted to destroy. Jehosheba takes steps to protect a young boy by the name of Joash from the wicked plot of this enemy. Notice how the child was protected personally. He's heir apparent here to the throne. But Jehosheba, the daughter of King Joram, sister of Ahaziah, took Joash, the son of Ahaziah, and stole him from among the king's sons, which were slain, and they hid him, even him and his nurse, in the bedchamber from Alethiah, so that he was not slain. So once Jehosheba gets word of her mother's wicked plan to have all her grandchildren killed, she immediately takes this young Joash out of danger. Many of you have heard the comparison between the offspring and the descendants of Jonathan Edwards and Max Jukes. Jonathan Edwards, Christian, heavyweight. He was married to a Christian girl. They had 729 descendants. Of them, 300 were preachers, 65 were college professors, 13 were university presidents, 60 authored books, 3 were U.S. congressmen, and 1 was vice president of the United States. Almost 70% of their descendants made a positive impact on this world. But then Max Jukes came along, an unbeliever, married an unbeliever, and they produced 1,026 descendants. 300 died early. 100 went to prison for an average of 13 years. 200, says, were public prostitutes. 100 were alcoholics. The family cost the state over $1 million, and that's way back. None made any significant contributions to their society. But what was the difference? The primary fact is Jonathan Edwards passed on godly, biblical principles to his family. Now notice the child was protected properly. I want you to notice not only how she protected the child, but where she protected the child. Look at verse 3. He was with her, hid in the house of the Lord for 6 years. That simply means that this lady took Joash to church. Isn't that amazing? You know, if you've got children that won't take your grandchildren to church, you need to trump their authority. If they don't think enough of their children to raise them in Bible study and worship, it might be time for you to step in and say, why don't you just let me keep them on Saturday nights and Sundays, and I'll take them, and possibly your children will let them skip travel ball every now and then, come to Bible study and worship. She not only protected him personally, but she also, look where she hid him out with the nurse. She hid him out in the church. I don't think Alethiah was going to go to the temple. What does she represent in this story? The devil. So I don't think she was really interested in that. Parents make a small spiritual investment in the lives of their children. But the greatest thing you can give them is a godly heritage. Jory Kincaid wrote this, "We need to model a thirst for Jesus in our homes." He said, "Our relationship with Jesus may make our children long for a relationship with Him as well. If we model such an attractive relationship of our own with Christ, our children may be eager for one too. Often we blame what our children say and what they do, how they dress and how they act on the culture. But many times they say and do and dress and act in the way they've been taught at home. However, when like Jehosheba, we take time to protect our children personally and properly, you'd be surprised at the lifestyles they'll live." I was reading the other day about Elizabeth Hasselbeck, and she came to fame, and I don't watch this show, called Survivor. Back in 2001, she finished in fourth place in that show called Survivor. A year later, she married the quarterback, Tim Hasselbeck. And later, she became a television personality on The View. I don't know why you'd want to be on The View. And then later on Fox and Friends. In 2015, she announced her retirement. She was still young. She said, "I'm going home to be the CBO. I'm going to be the chief breakfast officer at my house." And here's what she said. "My family needs the best of me, not the rest of me." So in a culture that often dismisses the significance of parents, it's good to be reminded that the children we bring in this world need the best of us and not the rest of us. Now notice procuring the throne. Verse 4. "In the seventh year of Jehoiada, sent and fetched the rulers over hundreds with the captains and the guard, and brought them to him into the house of the Lord, and made a covenant with them, and took an oath of them in the house of the Lord, and showed them the king's son." So the third scene here is it's an extreme high note. There was a plot against the throne, but because there was a gracious protection of the throne, there was going to be a glorious promotion to the throne. In other words, because of a concerned adult named Jehosheba, the life of the child Joash was saved. And notice the crown that exalted him. Now get the picture. Alethea she's vowed to destroy everyone, even her grandchildren, that are heirs to the throne. But we see the parental role is played by Jehosheba by protecting him for 6 years. In the seventh year, Joash is found, and Jehoiada, the priest, showed them the king's son. Look at verse 12. "And he brought forth the king's son, put the crown on him, and gave him the testimony, and they made him king and anointed him. And they clapped their hands and said, 'God save the king.'" Joash was a member of the royal seed to the throne. In fact, at this time in history, Joash was the last qualified remaining descendant of the line of David that was entitled to sit on the throne. So listen to this carefully. This is important. If Alethea, picture of the devil, has succeeded, the eternal plan and promise of God would have been thwarted. God had promised that Jesus, the Messiah, would come through the line and the seed of whom? Of David. This was it. They were down to it. If Joash had been destroyed like the other royal seed, there would have been no Messiah because the line of David would have been destroyed. But because this godly woman named Jehosheba, the life of Joash was spared. Now notice the covenant that established him. Verse 12, the priest there says, gives this testimony. Now, the Hebrew word for testimony speaks of a written law. It speaks of the word of God. In other words, though Joash was exalted by the crown, he was established by the covenant made with God's people. The word of God was the instrument that was placed into his hands that it might be put into his heart. Again, this was all to this one woman who decided to play parent. And the truth of the matter is that God has a purpose. He has a plan for every single life. And his main purpose for the children as they come to a saving knowledge of Christ at the earliest possible age, be discipled and discover God's plan for their life at the earliest possible age. You can give your children everything money can buy, but you should seek to give them the one thing that money cannot buy, and that's a personal relationship with the living Christ. As a church, we make an investment in the lives of children, of teenagers and children, but that is no substitute for what you can do as parents and grandparents. I love the story of W.P. Mackey. He was 17 years old and he left for college. His mother gave him a Bible, and in the flyleaf of the Bible, she put his name, her name, and her favorite verse. Well, he's a bright young man, went off to college, and he decided that he'd try to drink every keg dry on campus. So he went, he partied, and had a good time. He wasn't living for God. He knew better. Believe it or not, he still made good grades. One night, he was out of money, had his Bible with him, I guess in his vehicle, and he sold his Bible so he could buy more beer. Well, I want you to know his grades were good. He got into medical school. He graduated from medical school. He became the president of a local atheistic society. Well, he had a practice in a local hospital after he got his medical degree. And one night a man came in, had an accident, and he turned critical. Well, Mackey was helped working on him, and he learned after a little while that the patient wasn't going to live, so the patient looked at the nurse, and he told her where he lived, and he said, if you would get somebody to go to this address, I just want them to bring me the book. And the nurse said, what book? He said, just tell my landlord the book and tell him to get this book up here before I die. And so the nurse did what he asked to do. They got in touch with the landlord, went by and picked up the book. And I want you to know that later that man passed away in the hospital. So Dr. Mackey, president of the Atheistic Association, he asked the nurse, well, what was that book? She said, well, He's still lying in there dead on the bed. Said he, when he got through reading a little bit, he took that book and slid it under his pillow. So why don't you just go raise his head up and go see what that book is? And so Dr. Mackey went in there, moved the man's head around, pulled the book out, and it was a Bible. So he took it back into his office. So that was strange. And when he opened the flyleaf of the Bible, guess what? There was his mother's name. There was his name. There was her favorite verse. Was that an accident? Took it to his office that night and he began to cry. And he was convicted of the need to trust Jesus as Savior and Lord. Now, why did I tell you about Dr. W.P. Mackey? You better be careful when you run from God. I remember when I was 16 and my parents said, you never have to go to church again. I said, good, because I'm never going again. And you've heard me give my testimony of how Delane led me to Christ as a junior in college, and this was not on my vocational list. And then year after I got saved, God called me to preach. God has a sense of humor. Now, I shared that one Sunday morning here in a church service. And a few months later, somebody came to me, and when I gave that testimony, I said, because I dropped out of church from 16 to age 21, said I'll never go back. God called me to preach, and now I have to go every Sunday. And so a lady came up to me, a mother in our church, a young mother. She said, you know, I was trying to get my son motivated to go to church this morning. He finally looked at me and said, Mom, I'm ready to go. Said, because if we don't go, God will call me to be a preacher, and I have to go to church every Sunday. So let's go today. So you never know what a child is going to learn. Well, here's the president of the Atheistic Association, Dr. Mackey. God called him to preach. He was a revivalist. And God called him to be a songwriter. See if you recognize these words. Revive us again. Fill each heart with thy love. May each soul be rekindled with fire from above. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory, revive us again. You ever sung that song? And he wrote many, many more. I don't know what it's like to be a parent, never will. But they need more than a silver spoon in their mouth. We got to place spiritual principles in their heart. You can spoil them materially, but don't ruin them spiritually. Jehoshaphat reminds us that it's right to fight when you fight for right. This lady protected the life of the last heir to the throne to preserve that pathway so we could have the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. It's always right to take up the sword of the Spirit and fight for your family. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you for this story. It's something we overlook. We read through this text in our Bible reading. We can't pronounce all these words. And we're just not really sure what's going on here. But very simple message. Thank you as we trace back through this story, we see your unseen hand just orchestrating everything so that in the fullness of time, your son would take on flesh and dwell among us and give his life for our salvation. As we move towards Palm Sunday and we move towards Easter, help us be reminded of these little things that came together, not by accident, but by divine appointment. And you preserve the message of salvation and the opportunity of that grace and mercy, not only for us, but for us to share with other people. Help us to be very generous with the gift. This is the most expensive one that was ever given. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Good night.